Okay, the boys say a brand new perek, starting the ninth perek in Maseches Ksubis, Daf Pei Gimel Omer Aleph, the top word, the top line. Zok the Mishnah HaKoisiv LeIshtoi Din Udvorim Ein Li Bin Achasayich. As we know, we've learned many times in our Masechta that when a woman gets married and has Nechse Melug, as you recall, means Nechasim that she brings in from her family. For instance, her father or grandfather Nebuch passed away and left her a Yerusha. What happens with those Nechse Melug? The Keren belongs to her and the husband has a right to eat the payrois. Now our Mishnah is going to tell you, or is going to tell us, that in fact there are really three halachas which are connected with Nechse Melug. Number one is that the husband eats the payrois, like we just said. Number two, what happens if Chas V'Sholom she's going to pass away before he, then he is going to inherit those Nechse Melug. Number three, what happens if she wants to go and sell the Nechse Melug to someone else? You'll recall we had in the previous parak, the first Mishnah, that there were four separate scenarios as to when she received those, that Yerusha of the Nechse Melug. Did she get it before she was Nisarsa? After she wins Nisarsa,
and the Yerusha, what if she wins the lottery?
Very good point. Although the Mishnah and the Gemara always refers to Noflula Nechasim in the terms of a Yerusha, but the same thing would apply if she won the lottery, same thing would apply if someone gave her her present, same thing would apply if she earned it because she was a...
found a very valuable object in the show.
Exactly. Anything that belongs to her pre-marriage.
Wait.
Yes.
Her Metziah doesn't belong to him?
It depends on when she found it. When she found it. If she found it after we were married, then of course it belongs to him. But what happens if she found it pre-marriage? That would also be Nechse Melug. In other words, anything that belongs to her, if they went and did an appraisal and put it into the ksuba, then it would have a new din of Nechse Tzoyim Barzel.
My next question, where it says HaKosev,
entitled to three more.
He's putting in the ksuba, or he's giving her a separate star?
It could be a separate star. In fact, we'll see in the Gemara shortly that Rabchi is going to say, even if this was oral, it doesn't even have to be written down. So even though our Mishnah starts with HaKosev, the Gemara is going to start off on your point and say it doesn't even have to be Kosev, it could even be Omer, okay, that he just said it. Anyway, so
he's making this tonight, mm-hmm, before he has it.
That's going to be, Mor is going to say that, but we're not up to that yet. Mor is assuming that he's already in control, he already has rights, and now he is severing those rights, and we'll soon see. Anyway, bottom line is, the third right that the woman has is to go and sell the nechosim, that Karen, but the question depends on when did she receive it, and when did she get married. So we had in the earlier perek, the first Mishnah, four separate cases. One case was that she received it, koidim shinis arzam, even before she got engaged. Or really, it's not really engaged, really betrothed, before she did the initial kedushin, and then she sold it post the kedushin. Or she received it post kedushin, and she sold it post kedushin before nisuin. Or she received it after erusin, and then she sold it post nisuin.
We had that already.
Exactly. We're just doing a quick chazara to refresh our memories. And the fourth case was that she received it post nisuin and sold it post nisuin. So for instance, in that final case, if she received the Nechse Melug, she won the lottery, she went and received the Yerusha from a great-grandfather, whatever, it happened postly, soon after she's already a married woman, and what happens, and now she wants to go and sell it, we learned in the previous Mishnah, in the beginning of the previous Perek, that if she sold it, Habal Motzi Miyad Halakuchos, he can go and stop the sale and say, the sale is null and void, no force and effect. However, our Mishnah tells us about this case of the case of the Ishtoi, Din Udvorim Eilin Mechasayich. He went and said to her, or wrote to her, I don't want to have anything to do with your Nechse Melug. Harizeh Oichel Peres Bechayeho. He continues eating peres. Even though he says, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Eilin Din Udvorim Eilin. He continues eating peres. The Mesa, he continues to be Yorsha. So now the obvious question is, so what validity, what did these words have? In Cain, Loma Kosovo Dinu Dwarim, Ein Lemachasayach, She Machra, Unasana Kayim. That even though in a case of the Moshal of Nisun that we said before, normally Habal Motzimi Yadalakuchos, by saying Dinu Dwarim Einli, then if she sells it, it's a done deal, and it is valid. The Gemara is going to ask, since there are three halachos connected with Nechse Malug, why do I say that the Dinu Dvarim Eilin Mechasayich affects only this third halacha? Why don't I say it also affects the halacha of Ochel Peirois, or the case of Mesa Yorsha? The Gemara is going to address that shortly.
Does Benasna mean she gives it as a gift?
Correct. And that's, it's either or. In Macha, if she sold it, or she gave it as a gift, Kayim, it is valid and enforceable. Okay, now, he only said...
In general, a star cannot abrogate a Yerusha, right? Even if I write a star, I can't change my Yerusha.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean by changing a Yerusha.
Let's say I write a star, I say everything goes to one child,
right.
The youngest child.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter, the Yerusha still gets divided, halachically, no?
Halachically, what you're saying is correct, but of course, even today, there are a lot of people that prefer one over the other. For instance, min halacha, min adin, if you have girls, right? Most people have both boys and girls. Some people do, some people don't. Okay, but anyway, what happens if you have a mixture of boys and girls? Min haTorah, only the boys get a Yerusha.
Right.
So can a person write today a tzavah to go and change that and give the girls?
Now we allow it. Used to go, we did not.
Okay, so
I thought you usually have to write it as a gift as opposed to just saying, I want.
Yeah, but the time Gemara, what they didn't do.
Exactly.
Anyway, all of these halachas are fascinating, but really getting off the subject. Our focus now is the Nechse Malug as to who has the rights in Nechse Malug. Continuing on the Mishnah. So until now it was just Dinu Dvarim Einli Bin Achasayich. Now he said, a different case, Kosev lo dinu dvarim einli min hachasayich, ube peiroisayan. Not only won't I have rights to your nechosim, but I won't even have rights to the peiros. Oh. Then the Mishnah says, harizeh einli oichol peiros b'chiyah. He said very clearly, I'm not going to have the right to the income. Peiroisayan means the income stream. If he said it, einli oichol. However, the Mesa Yarsha, he still retains that third right of Yarshining, because after all, that he didn't abrogate, so that stays in place. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo'oilam oichel peiroi peirois, achi yichtav lo din udvorim einlim nechasayich, ube peiroisein, ube peiroi peiroisein, ad oilam. What means peiroi peirois? So the Gemara is going to ask that. The Gemara is going to say that what happens if they took the income stream and they use that to invest in a new property, and that new property now sheds additional peiros in future years. So that's already the peiroi peirois. And therefore, says our Mishnah, says Rabbi Yehuda, la'olam oichol peiroi peirois. Even if he said, I don't want to have any hanoah of the peirois, but he could have hanoah from the peirois of the peirois. When? Ad sheichtav, unless he writes very, very clearly, dinu dvarim einim nechasayich, ube peirosein, ube peirei peirosein ad oilam. Now by saying ube peirei peirosein ad oilam, we'll see on the Amud Beis that this continues going on further and further. In other words, just like he spoke about peirei peirois, he could also speak about the peiros of the peirei peirois, as well as the peiros of the peiros of the peirei peirois. And as you can see, this could go on forever, and that's why the Mishnah says, ad oilam. If that's what he writes in the Shnar, ad oilam, he's not allowed to have a no from any of those additional peiros. Okay. Kosev lo dinu dvarim einu nechasayich, ube peirosein, ube peirei peirosein, bechayech uve moiseich, Now, finally, he's really, how would you say it, he's banged the nail into the coffin, and now he has no rights whatsoever. So if he just says these vague rights, he continues having peirois, he continues yarshening, he only loses the right to stop her mecher. If we continued on and said, then he loses the right to eat the peiros, but he continues having the right to yarshin. However, if he says, then he loses even the right to yarshin, because he said, even after you pass away, I won't have any rights.
Could he stop on sale?
No, we already said from the first case, in Macha Menos Lakayim. So that continues on throughout the Mishnah. In other words, we keep on going from the most minimal to the maximal. And the minimal was, he loses that right about stopping the sale. Then if he says, Ube peiroisein, he loses the right to eat the peirois. And if he says, Bechayech moiseich, he even loses the right to yashar, to inherit. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, in Mesa Yiroshena, when they should masa mashakos about Toyra, masa mashakos about Toyra, to no oi botel. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that the din of Yerushas Habal, that the Baal yarshins his wife, even though it doesn't say it befeirish in the Torah, but he says we learn from Psukim that this is Midiraisa, that the husband yashins. Where do we learn it from? There's a pasuk that says, L'she'eroi ha'korav eila mimishpachtoi v'yorash oisa. Now normally the halacha is L'she'eroi ha'korav eila mimishpachtoi, he can go and yarshin from his mishpacha. And mishpacha means mishpacha, so avkari mishpacha, so from his side of the aisle, if you will, the choyri doesn't have a right to go and yarshin from her. But since it says l'sh'eroi, and it says v'yarash oisa, so the Gemara darshin, the v'yarash oisa, comes to tell you that he can even yarshin his wife. This is, however, not muskim according to everybody. In fact, it's a machloikis. But this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, that Yerusha Sabal is d'oraisa. And therefore, if this person is saying, no, I don't want your Yerusha, oh, so he's trying to defy what it says in the Torah, he's mas mashakos b'Torah, Torah, therefore tanoi batel, and he can yarshin her nevertheless. We'll see more about that in Mir Shem at the tail end of today's Gemara, what Rav Shimon Gamliel holds. Anyway, we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Beginning of the Mishnah, we said, Ha koisav li ishtai. And we already spoke out a moment ago. Toni Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya learned in his braisois. As you know, in addition to the codification of the Mishnayos, we have the braisois of Reb Chiya and Reb Oishia. So Reb Chiya said that the word Ha koisav is lav davka. The same thing applies to Oima li ishtai. If he just says to his wife, the same halacha would apply. Okay. Frek digmar. V'chi kosav la. Whenever you see now the word kosav through the end of today's sugya, think parenthetically also omer. The Gemara doesn't keep on focusing, but really it's the same halacha. V'chi kosav lohochi mai haba. Who cares that he wrote din udvarim elim nechasayich, or that he said din udvarim elim nechasayich? These words are totally ineffective. How do I know that these words are ineffective? But Tanya, because I have a braisa. Ho'im lechaveiroi. We're talking about two shutfim, two partners. Partner A says to partner B, Dinu dvarim engli al sodazu. I no longer have anything to do with this field. Engli esik, but I have no business with this field. V'yodim esuleka semina, and I'm withdrawing from this field. Now you would think, the lawyers did a good job. Three separate... Yeah? What does it say? L'yamaklum. It's nothing, Raboisa. He remains a full-fledged shutif. So what do I see from this? That the words dinu dvarim are not effective words. If they're not effective words, how does it say in our Mishnah that they were effective, that if she sold or gave it away as a present, that it's kaim? I should say leo maklum, and that he retains all the rights. Why do we say in our Mishnah he loses a right? What means koislav oida arusa? What the Gemara is telling us is that the difference between the braisa, where it said and the case of our Mishnah, depends on whether the person is already in the driver's seat or he hasn't even entered into the car yet. Meaning that if you already happen to be a shutif with someone else, and now you want to go and release yourself from this shutfus, then it's not enough just to go and say, dinu dvar mainly, ainli esikba, yodim selekas. Those words don't do the trick. Why? Because you are an absolute owner. If you want to give it away or sell it, oh, says Rashi, what you can use, you can use a lashon of matana. You can go and say to the other shutif, I hereby give you a matana of my chelik of the field. Or he can go and sell it to his shutif, or sell it to somebody else. Fine. However, using these three terms, this is what the Mefarshim call a lishna geria. It's an inferior way of expressing yourself. Because if you want to go and give something away, you say, I'm giving, I'm transferring, I'm assigning, I'm bestowing. But you don't go and say, I don't want to have anything further to do with this field. You cannot say that. It's your field. I don't want to have anything. You don't want these wonderful dreams and aspirations, but it's yours. However, if something is going to come to you, min hashamayim, it's going to come to you like the lottery, or like the Yerusha, or something that hasn't arrived on my doorpost yet, or my doorstep yet, I can go and say, I don't want it! Get it out of here! Don't give it to me! That you can do, then it's effective. Says Yimor, that's what it's talking about over here. It's talking about the koisel va'oida rusa, that he didn't receive anything yet. She just got it, she's about to get it, or she just got it, and he says to her, I don't want it. No. Since he's not in the driver's seat yet, in other words, it doesn't belong to him yet, then he can go and prevent it from entering into his rishus. So therefore the key to the Gemara's teretz is, are we talking about something that he's already in possession and he's already an owner, or it's something that he's going to become an owner? If he's already an owner, these lishonis don't work. If he's not an owner yet, he can go and say, Rabbi, say, stay away from me, don't give it to me, I'm not interested. And how does this work? Kirav Kahana, Yomar of Kahana. Nachla bo lo li odam mi mokem acher. If a nachla is supposed to come to someone from another place, Rashi says, like the case of our Gemara, where it's not his Yerusha apparently from Rashi, that would be chal, but we're talking about a Yerusha that's going to come to him through his wife, which he's really not entitled to, min ha-tayr. It's only because of the fact that he got married. Aha. So this type of Yerusha, why does he get the benefit of that nechsem luk? Because of the takonas chachamim. The chacham said, peroisea tachas perkunan, that because he gets her peirois, therefore he has to go and lies her oath. Lies her oath means he has to redeem her if chas v'shalom she was taken into captivity. So therefore, it's takanas chachamim. Ah, so says Rav Kahana, nachla bo liodem yokem acher, odem masaleh shelo yirushen. A person could go and stop the process and say, I don't want this Yerusha. But we're not talking about a Yerusha min ha-Torah. Ukir rabba di yomar rabba, oimer I efshi betakonas chachamim ki goin zu, shoymin loy. Whoever says, the chacham made a takana for me, thank you chachamim, but I don't need it, and I waive these rights. Now what is it, my ki goin zu, what is ki goin zu? Kirav huna, kirav huna marab. Di yomar huna marab, yichoy li isha shetayim labala, eini nizoynes vi eini oise. We've said in the Gemara before that one of the rights and obligations that husbands and wives have when they get married is he has an obligation to give her mezonos, to give her food and sustenance, and in return she gives him her earnings, her maas yadayim. So if she works and she gets a nice salary, he has to give her the food and she has to hand over the maas yadayim. So now we had a dispute in the Gemara for whose benefit was this takana made. Poshit, the takana was made for her benefit, meaning she wants to eat, and therefore, he has to supply the food. But there would be terrible eva, terrible sinna. Can you imagine? I'm supplying my wife with three meals a day and two snacks in between, and she's making a lovely salary and she's keeping it in her bank account. Would be terrible friction and tension in the family home, and therefore, she has to hand over. Others say it's the other way around, that because he went and acquired her through kinyanim, she's now his wife. Masha kana isha kana bala. If she has masi adayim, it goes to him. Or since he's receiving her masi adayim, he's receiving her salary. No, he has to do something quid pro quo. What's a quid pro quo? He has to go and give her mezainis. So the question is, for whose benefit was this takana made? Rav Huna Amrav says that the takana was made principally for the wife, that she should go and get mezainis. And the assumption is because in the good old days, the women's salaries were not like they are today. Today, many women make even more than their male counterparts, as we know. Anyway, so the point is, the women had presumably
a big issue in civil prenups.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That they want to waive the right to the wife's extra salary.
Ah, good. Good. The extra salary is really what we call hadofa. But even the regular salary. So now the question is, who does that go to? So Rav Marav says, Yechoy le'isha tem le'bala. She can go and say, my dear husband, thank you very much for giving me three meals a day, but I happen to be earning $20,000 a week, and I can afford the three meals a day, and I don't want to give you the $20,000. Let me hold the money for me. And
to her benefit, she can abrogate the agreement.
Well, instead of really abrogating, she's waiving her rights. She's saying, the chachamim gave me special rights. So when I get married, that you're going to go and support me, my dear husband, Yeshekoyach, and I very much appreciate it, but I don't need it, and therefore I waive my rights. You keep your mezainis, and I'll keep my masi.
Can that be done at any time? We talk about Erisin.
Parship shot even after they're married.
That's a question.
Parship shot even after they're married.
That's according to Rav Huna Marav.
Any time. You don't have to give me food, and I don't have to give you the masi dai. So here too, since the whole peiros of the property was for his benefit, he can go and say, stop the process, I don't want those payers, don't give him the next malug, let it not fall to me.
But the Baal has to be masked with this after the shulim.
What does he have to mask him to?
To say, okay, you keep your money, but I won't feed you.
Okay, so that's, you apparently do not hold like Rav Huna Amarav. Because
right.
Rav Huna Amarav says that the main reason why the Chachamim made this takana was for her benefit. you hold like others that feel that it was for his benefit. Meaning, when the Chachamim made this takana of the quid pro quo, he has to go and give mazonis, she has to give the Maaseh Yadayim, who did they have in mind first, and who did they say, oh, if you're giving this, then the other one has to give that. If you say that it's for the benefit of the woman, then she can go and say, thank you, rabbis, I very, very much appreciate it. Believe me, I'm sincere. I appreciate that you gave me mezainis, but I don't need it. Anyway, I'm on a diet. I don't eat 3 times a day, only 2 times a day, and I'm on a liquid diet.
That you don't
anytime during the marriage. And therefore, you keep the mezainis, I'll keep my salary. That's permissible. According to other Amirim we've had in the Gemara, no. The halacha is that, or they hold, that the principal reason for this takana was for his benefit, that he should get the income stream. In return for that, he has to go and pay, he has to give her mezainis. So therefore, she could not say that, because this is not a takana for her benefit, it's a takana for his benefit. And then he could waive his rights.
It's like a one-sided kinyan, either way.
Well, it's mutual. He gives her, and she gives him. The question is, who has the right to waive the rights? Anyway, continuing on the Gemara.
She was a big earner.
Ah. So bottom line is, our Mishnah is now talking about a case where he did not receive the Nechse Melug yet, because they hadn't arrived on the scene. Why didn't they arrive on the scene? It's talking about that he said this before the Oida Arusa. She was still in Arusa, they didn't have Nisuin yet. In such a case, he made the statement, Dinu Dvarim Einli, and it works, Legabi the Dinu Mochram Nanos Nakai. Why don't you say by Nesua the same thing? That if he didn't receive anything yet, let him say, stop it, I don't want it. Didn't dvarm ainly. Why do you say only case of Bekoisla Va'oida Rusa, even Ba'oida Nesua? Omar Abaye Nesua Yodai Ki Yoda. Rav Omar Yodai Adifa Miyoda. Abaye says that the reason is because if they are already Nesuin, then they become like one. Like the famous Varta people say that before you got married you were plagufa, you only half a guf, but now that you're married, you become like one. So therefore, any Yerusha that she receives, any Nechse Melug that she receives, it's as if he received it at the same moment. They're like Shutfim. Oh, we're like Shutfim, then we go back to the previous Braisa that says, when one Shutf says to the other Shutf, Dinu Dvarim, Eim Yasod Zu, Eim Yasigba, V'yarim Salakamana, Leom Maklum, this is garnish, because it belongs to him. So before he receives it, he can say, I don't want it. But once he receives it, it's already too late. So by Nisuin, since Yodoi Ki Yodo, they're like one, like Bazoi, as soon as she gets it, he got it. Rava Amar Rava says even more than that. Yodoi Adi for Mi Yoda. His hand is even stronger than her hand when there is already Nisuin. So even though she's receiving the Nechse Melug, his ownership rights are stronger in a sense than her ownership rights. Now, in the Gabi, our case, it makes no difference. Meaning that if they already Nosui and Nesua, if Nesuin already took place, then the words Dinu Dvarim Engli have absolutely no legal effect whatsoever. Because they're like Shunfim. Makes a difference. Yadi ki yada, yadi adifim yada. Aha, so Ibazoi, what is the nafkimina between Abai and Rav? So the more nafkimina, the Shemer is Yavim. Shemer is Yavim really has nothing to do with our Gemara. It's a separate case. Rashi goes into this in some detail. That it's talking about what happens if Shemeres Yovam got Nechosim. What's a Shemeres Yovam? Remember, her original husband never passed away, and she's now waiting to have Yibam from her second husband, meaning from the brother. And what happens if she died? What happens now with any Nechse Melug that she had? So we have this already a few days ago. Exactly.
They divided the husband's family and the wife's family.
So
that
you
was
hold
definitely one shot.
That was one of two mandiyamim. That was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had a machlokes. What happens if she had Nechse Melug and she died when she was still a Shemeres Yavam? Beis Shammai says Yachloiku. Who's Yachloiku? The Yavam and his family, meaning the Baal, the original dead Baal's family, they are one side of the dispute. Then her family, meaning her brothers or her father, if her father's still alive, etc., they're the other side, and then they split it down the middle. They get half and they get half. That was Beis Shammai. They still say, no. It depends on what part of the Yerusha you're talking about. If you're talking about the ksuba of the $100 or the $200, that taka is going to go to the tzad of the Baal. Why? Because they were muchzik in that money. That money never left the estate. It was always there, ready to be paid to her. But she died. She doesn't get it. So they hold on to those funds. However, the Nechzim Aluk always belonged to her father, to her. So therefore, the Chasim Cheskasan. And therefore, that's how you do the split. Not 50-50, but rather, her side of the family gets the entire Nechzim Aluk. That's what we learned in the Mishnah before. Very good. However, there's a machloikis now between Abaye and Rava as to when this occurred. Abaye says that this machloikis is talking about kishenoflu kishehi tacht of the baal, meaning that she received this nechzim malug when she was still married to the original husband. That's when her father, her grandfather passed away, or that's when she won the lottery, that's when she got the present, that's when she got the nechzim malug. Then you have the machloikis, and what is the machloikis? That Abaye says, in such a case, yodoy ki yodo. And that's why we have the machloket between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And according to Beis Hillel, the chazaka kamaisa is stronger because of the fact that she had it from her family and she gets it. What happens, however, if she receives it at the time of her nefil liyibam, meaning her original husband never had it at all? Oh, if the original husband never had it, then she gets the entire. In other words, her family gets the entire. Then his side never gets anything. Why not? Because the original husband wasn't even alive when she received that nechzim aluk. That's according to Abaye. According to Rava, Rava says, no, even if she only gets it at the time of the fact that she was Shemeres Yavam, because we go and say, Yodai Adifa Miyada, then the same machloikis would apply, even though she only got the nechosim later on. Anyway, but Lamaisa, that really has nothing to do with our Gemara. The point is that for our purposes about this Dinu Dvarim, makes no difference. But in the Shemeres Yavam case, there could be a difference between Yodai Ki Yodah and Yodai Adifa Miyodah. Iboilu. Now the Gemara asks a new Shaila, and we ask the following. Konu Miyodai Mahu. Now, Rashi points out that this is not going on our Mishnah, this is going on that Braisa before. The Braisa, remember the Braisa said before, if you have two Shutfim, A and B, and A says to B, I'm out of here, I don't want to have anything to do with this partnership anymore, and therefore, Dinu Dvarim Ainli Esig Bo, Yodim Selek Semena, Loi Omaklum, these words are not effective because it belongs to him. Freik Dimar, what happens if in the Shtar, or in the Amira, he says, and by the way, let's make a Kenyan. So they're here, you take it up, and I pick it up, and Machagam Tzakinyan. Would that now change the halacha and say, since they made a kinyan, oh, 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 now it's as if he actually gave it to him with a matana, and therefore he in fact is now out of the picture? Or do you say that this kinyan has only strengthened ineffective words to make them even greater ineffective words, but you haven't done anything? Meaning, if you're telling me that these three lashonis just don't work, Dinu Dvarim Ainli Asik Ba Yodim Selekasim and Aliyah Maklum, you can make 12 Kinyanim. The words still do not work. They don't have legal effect. And that's the Gemara Shaili. Boilu. Kanam Yodim Mahu. Omer of Yosef. Mi Dinu Dvarim Kanam Yodai. All we've done is we've taken the words Dinu Dvarim and we've repeated them. We've strengthened them. But Baita Dinu Dvarim is worthless. Aliyah Maklum. No. If in fact he made a kinyan, then it changes these words to the words of matana and it makes it into a full-fledged kinyan. This is good. Okay, so we obviously have a big machloikis of Yosef and Rav Nachman. Now, Abaye is going to limit the machloikis. Omer Abaye, Mistava Milton of Yosef. When did Rav Yosef say that the dinner, that the kinyan is not effective? That's the orer. What means boirer? The first guy, A, says to be dinu dvarim ein lenechasayich, ein liyesigba, v'yodim esulekes emena, I am out of here. And even makes a kinyan. And now, the other chava says, azoi, she says on the spot, or he says a day later, or 3 days later, whatever it was. The other person, the other partner says, if that's the case, I am taking over now the second part, meaning your part of the shutfus. I'm now going to change all the documents, I'm going to change the title, and I'm going to take over Bakal Mikal Kol, this whole thing. Now, if the first person who used those words, Dinu Dvarim Ainli, who also made a kinyan, if on that spot, as soon as he hears that, he is Orer, or means he's Mocher, he says, no, I didn't give it to you, all I said was, Dinu Dvarim Ainli, the Yodim Misalek HaSemena. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, it just means that you're a tough guy, I'm a softy, I'm an idol type. If you're going to decide to take over, I'm not going to fight you in court, I'm not going to hire lawyers, I'm not going to send you a summons, I'm not going to call the FBI and the CIA and the ASPCA and the UN. I'm not going to go to court. I'm the type, I don't want to see judges, I don't want to see courts.
It's an agreement to forbearance.
Exactly. Exactly. So therefore, if he's Orer on this spot, that's the case as Abaye, that's what Rav Yosef said, Loi Omar Klum, and in fact he still owns 50% of the property. Avul, Bo'oymen Migufishel Karka. What means Bo'oymed? What means that he heard the other person saying, I'm taking over now the entire thing. Now that you said, mainly I'm taking over everything. And for the first day or two, he said, okay. And then 3 days later, he called him up, hey, I heard that 3 days ago you said, what do you mean you heard? You were present, you knew at the time. But I stood on my rights, I sat on my rights, if you will. But now, 3 days later, now I'm protesting, and I'm telling you, I want back my 50%. I'm not going to take you to court, I told you already, Dinudvar mainly. But I want back my 50%. It belongs to me. Then, Migufishal Karak Economy Yodai. Then, in fact, even Rav Yosef would agree to the other Mandi Yomar, to Rav Nachman, that by the fact that he kept quiet for the first couple of days, it's a simon by making his kinyan that he in fact intended giving it to him a full-fledged matana. Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, why did he change his mind 2 or 3 days later? Says Rashi, hashtuhu de kohodebe velimduhu litoin kach. He went to a lawyer and a lawyer taught him to go and say these words. On his own, he had already intended to give it away. Because after all, he said, dinu dvarim, and he made a kinyan. His real intention was to give it away. However, why 3 days later is he all of a sudden protesting? Because Lindu, some lawyer said, go, it only said dinu dvarim. He didn't say matana, so he didn't really do it. But it wasn't effective. Come on in and protest 2 days later. Anyway, what do we have from all of this Gemara? We have now a machloikis. If a person said dinu dvar, and he said mitakinyan, is that effective or not? So now, everybody agrees. In a case of omeid, if you waited and sat on your rights, everybody agrees, konu miyode, the kinyan is effective. The question is, if he's orer. There Rav Yosef says, if he's orer immediately, as soon as he hears the other guy taking over and taking title and changing all the documents and all the deeds and blah, blah, blah. If he's orer immediately, says Rav Yosef, that's because the kinyan of the dinu dvarim, those words were not effective, and he still owns 50%. Rav Nachman said, no, even if he's orer, makes no difference. As soon as he makes a kinyan, it's all over, he's out of here. So now, Ameimar Haskins, Hilchas Amigufishal Karak Ekonomi Yodai. So now, Rav Ashi asked the obvious question. Omele Rav Ashi Ameimar, Be'orer Oim Be'oimed. Which case are you talking about? In the Oimed case, everybody agrees. Both Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman agree, Ekonomi Yodai. So are you telling us the obvious that we paskin like both of them? Or maybe you're talking about that the Mechlokes is Be'orer. And therefore, you're now choosing sides between Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman, and you're paskinning like Rav Nachman. L'may Nafkimina, why do you ask this question? Like Rav Yosef, like we just said now. Do you paskin like Rav Yosef? Do you paskin like Rav Nachman? Amalei lo shmili, I never heard this distinction between the Orer and the Omeid. Kalei malei shmili, I don't hold that way. Which means, what Amemer is saying is, I hold like Rav Nachman, it makes no difference. Orer, it makes no difference. Omeid, the point is, if you use these deficient, inferior words, however you add it with a kinyan, that kinyan now goes and supercharges it and changes, transforms the words as if you said a matana or a mecher as opposed to din udvar. Okay, back to our Mishnah. We started off the beginning of the Mishnah that if a husband said li ishtoi din udvarim in the mechasayich, he has 3 rights normally. 1 right is to eat peiros. Right number 2 is to yarshin. Right number 3 is not to allow her to go and sell the property. By going and saying, ein menachosayich, it's only effective for the 3rd of the 3 rights. Why shouldn't she be able to go and say to him, just like it's effective on right number 3, that I can go and sell it? Why is it effective also, Lagabe? You should no longer eat the pay rise, or you shouldn't get it if Chas HaShalom I pass away. Amrabaya Yad Balashtar ala Tachtoin. What means Yad Balashtar Tachtoina? In English, in American law, we have the same concept that you read a document against the draftsman. If the draftsman did a poor job in drafting, we say, ha ha, it's your own fault. You should have drafted it better. Here too, when we have this statement over here, he wrote the document and he said, or as we said before, you don't even have to write documents, even if you say it orally. But the point is, these terms are vague. They're not, I give you an absolute matana. If you ever saw a transfer deed, I'm sure you'll know that the lawyers write in 12 different lashonas that Mr. Smith gives, bestows, transfers, assigns, yeah, and you write as many English synonyms as you can to make it absolutely clear that you're giving it. These words are vague words. They're inferior words. Dina dvarm engli, engli esikba. He didn't say matana. Ah, since they're inferior, yad balashtalach tatoina means her rights now are minimal, and therefore we only take away one of the three rights that he had. Okay, but who said dafka that third right about the mecher? Maybe he loses the right to the income stream. Amar Rabbi Butzina Tav Mikara. Butzina Tav Mikara means, as they say in English, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. I'm sure you all are familiar with that. What does that expression mean? It means something that you have in hand that you know for sure. I have it. Yeah. I'll give that away, you'll have two more, and you go to the bush. Yeah. By the time you got to the bush, the two will fly away. Here too, the word butzina means a small gourd. A kara means a large pumpkin. So what's better to have? Well, much better to have a big pumpkin. A pumpkin. Look at it. You can use it for Halloween. You can go make designs and all that. My shame, little gourd, you finish it up. And 1, 2, 3 is good. Yeah. But the gourd you have in your hand, the pumpkin you don't have yet. Ah, so therefore you're better off with the minimal rights. So what does it have to do with us? What we're saying over here is that he has the choice now between the Achilles Peiros and between the Mecher, and he says the Peiros, this is on an ongoing basis. Every week she's producing, every week she the property is producing, and Baruch Hashem there's a steady income, that's already income in the hand. About that she's going to go and sell it, when she sells it, you know, Dailat's Ross and Beshaita, she's not selling it yet. In fact, Rashi says a little bit later that a person doesn't want to go and sell the Nechosim that they received from their father or from the grandfather, because it has a sentimental value. It's not just sentiment. It's not like a ring or something that you wear, a personal thing, but your person is very proud. You see that building? Oh, my great-grandfather already owned that building over there. When your great-grandfather was still in diapers, my great-grandfather already owned, he was a wealthy man, he was a magnate, he was a Rosh Hakul, he was the most mechubadika person, he was almost the mayor of the city in New York. Yeah, great so much. Therefore, a person has pride within the chosim of their forebears. So, getting back to our Gemara, therefore it's unlikely that she's going to go and sell it, but the payers is something which is comes in on a frequent basis. Whenever there's a crop, whenever there's income, it keeps on coming in. And therefore, see the Katamikara, he wants to retain the payroll. So if he gave something away, what's the minimum that he wanted to give away? Her right to go and sell. Maybe by writing Dinu Dvarim, he gave away the second right, that if Chas V'Shalom, she's going to go and pass away, he's not going to yarshin her. And maybe if she wants to sell, then he could stop her from selling. In other words, we have three rights over here. How are you choosing one from the other? Amr Abay, Misa Shchicha, Mechira Loi Shchicha. Passing away is more Shchiach than Mechira. What means it's passing away? In other words, we know that everybody eventually passes away in Mitchum until Tchiyas Amaisim. So, therefore, it's going to happen sooner or later at some time. Mechira, however, is Loi Shchicha, like we quoted the Rashi before, Ein Isha Roi Tzalimkar Nechse Beis Aviyah. And therefore, he would prefer being able to go and yarshin from her, because it's a 50-50 chance if he'll die first and she'll die first. And in fact, Toisa says it's not even 50-50, he has better chances of longevity than she does. If I'm not mistaken, nowadays the statistics show that women live longer than men. But in the good old days, the men, women used to pass away earlier than men. The reason for that, since this second choice is over here, so it says, Misa Shchicha, Shem Mishum Deroif Pa'amim, Mr. Kenes Beleda. The reason why women pass away first, and of course people had many, many children in the good old days, 10, 20 children, so eventually, Chas V'Shalom. Okay, anyway, so the point is, that's why I don't want to give away the right to Yerusha, because there's a Not a 50-50 chance, a 60-40 chance, 75-25 chance. Therefore, I want that right. That she might go and sell it, she's not going to sell so quickly. She got it from a great-grandfather. Therefore, that right he wishes to retain. When a person says, and he wants to be masalik himself, he'll go and be masalik himself rather from a thing which happens infrequently. That she passes away earlier. That's more shchich masalik inish nafshe. Okay, so that's teretz number one, why we say that he loses the right about the ultimate mecher, but he doesn't lose the other two rights. Rav Ashi says, I have a better pshat. What's a better pshat? It says in the Mishnah, Hakoysev li'ishtoi, or Oimer li'ishtoi, Dunu dvarim einli b'nechosayich. What's the definition of nechosayich? Says Rav Ashi, nechosayich means the keren, the principle. But like Peter is saying, that's not nechosayich, that's a future income stream. That's not nechosayich, that I didn't give away. Minachasayich means when you have title to it. When do you have title to it? When you're alive. After you pass away, it's no longer yours. It belongs to the estate. It belongs to a guardian, an executor, a court case, but it doesn't belong to you. So therefore, when he said, the payers I retain, that's not nechasayich, and la'achamisa I retain because no longer you're nechasim. Mashenkin, if she wants to go and sell it, no, it's her nechasim that he gave away by saying dinu dvar. Okay, on to the next gemara. Rabbi Yehuda oymer lo oylem oichel peiroi peirois at she oymer ein li benachasayich ube peiroi sayin at oylem. Tana Rabbanon, what's the definition of peiros and peiros? Tana Rabbanon, Elohim peiros ve Elohim peiros. What's the distinction? Zokti Gemara Echnis, like Harkavi osas a peiros, Harayin peiros. That we understand. Now, Mocha peiros, what happens? There were so many peiros. Baruch Hashem, there was a huge income stream. So Mocha peiros, they took some of those peiros and they sold them, Baruchim and Karka, and now they bought a new property. The osas peiros in that new property did pay. Oh, Harayin peiros. Okay, very, very straightforward. What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is when you use multiple terms, which are the ikka terms and which are the tuffel terms, which are the primary, which are the secondary. So the lashon of the Mishnah was, Rabbi Yehuda said, La'olam oichel peiroi peirois. He continues to eat not only the peiros but peiroi peiros. At sheyichtav lo, until he says, Din hadvarim ein li, b'nechasayich. Ube peiroi sayin ad oilam. Now the question is, why did he have to go and say peiroi sayin ad oilam? Wouldn't it have been enough to go and say eimim nechasayich peiroi sayin? Period. Or he could have said eimim nechasayich peiroi sayin ad oilam. Also period. What's the peiroi sayin ad oilam? The one wants to know is the ikka the peiroi sayin, or is the ikka the ad oilam? Or is the ikka both together? Now this is a rear shayla of the Gemara where there are three tzedadim. Most shaylas you have two tzedadim, right? You have two sides. Here we have three potential alternatives. Is the boiler who? Rabbi Yehuda. Peiroi dafka. The ikka words that you have to say are peiroi. Oydil ma'at oylam dafka. Those are the ikka words. Oydil ma'travayu dafka. You have to say both. One without the other doesn't work. So now you're wondering, in each case, if it's only one or the other, then why did the Mishnah say all of those words? Says you want imtim to learn a peiroi davka. If you're going to tell me like the first tzad that those are the ikka words, and you're going to say ad oilam lomli, so why did the Mishnah throw in the words ad oilam if the ikka is peiroi saying? We could have shortened the shear already by 3 seconds by leaving out ad oilam. Says you want hakamashul and this nish gefarlich. The reason why the Mishnah adds oilam. Ad oilam, kiman the cost of love, peiris, kiman the cost of ad oilam dummy. Maybe what the Mishnah is trying to tell us is that by adding the words, peiris, saying, these words are so effective, it's as if you said ad oilam. But you don't need to say ad oilam, peiris, saying is enough. Vim nim talem, if you're going to go and tell me ad oilam davka, those are the main words, and you're going to say peiris, lumbly, why do you throw in peiris? Hakamashon, I'll tell you. Because avagav the cost of love, peiris, e cost of love ad oilam in eloi loi. Because if you're just going to go and say ad oilam, says Rashi, you know what it might mean? It might mean that the peiros, what means ad oilam? He writes, din udvarim einu benachasayach ubeperosayin ad oilam. And you leave out the words peiros. So I might have thought, you know what that means? It means that I'm not allowed to go and eat these peiros forever. But I wouldn't know peiros and peiros. Because the word ad oilam means, you know, forever. So these peiros, I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to let him. I'm going to leave him totally. So therefore, that's what I need to go and write to Peter Peters to tell you we're not only talking about Peters, we're talking about Peter Peters. Aha. Now, the question is, what do I need both? What do I need both? If it just says peri peris without saying ad oilam, then I would stop it after the einiklach. You can't eat the peris, you can't eat the peri peris, but I could eat the peris of the peri peris. And of course I could certainly eat the peri peris of the peri peri peris. And you can keep on going like this forever. And therefore, that's the reason why I have to go and add the words, if it would, ad oilam, is an ochel. Because of the peri peris, because ad oilam have a minute peri peris, who? To lay ochel of peri peri peris, ochel, lach yisrach oil. Because of ad oilam, because of the peri peris have a minute oilam, a peris koi. Like we said before, that the oil means that you can't eat these peters forever, but you could eat peter peters. It's a peter peters to go and tell you both peter peters and ad oilam to go and say all peters, the peters and the peter peters and the peter peter peters forever for all generations of the peters. Good. Next, ibaylu kosev lo din udvarim inim nachasayich ube peter peters mau shiyoychal. Peiros. What happens? In other words, he left out one word. This could have been a Scribner's error. Or maybe it wasn't. In other words, until we had now, Kosovo Dinu Dvorim, Ainli Binochasayich, Ube Peirisayim, Ube Peirisayim. Here it's talking about that he skipped a generation, and he said, Dinu Dvorim Ainli Binochasayich, Ube Peiris, leaving out the Peirisayim. Mao Sheikh Peiris, can he eat the Peiris? Me Peiris, Solik Nafshe. The second generation, the Peiris Peiris, yeah, just nicht. But I'm a Peiris, Solik Nafshe, but I'm going to continue eating Peiris. Oy, Demikomili, Solik Nafshe, even though he left it out, he really intended. He make it like a Kalb Choymer. Madach, I'm giving away the Peiris Peiris, I'm certainly giving the Peiris. There are tomorrow, Pshita, Demikomili, Solik Nafshe. It must mean that he really wants Masalik himself from everything. The Amri the Peri Peris Solik Nafshe, Mi Peri Lo Solik Nafshe, only from the Peri Peris, and not from the Peris. So if he's not Masalik himself from the Peris, what's going to happen with those Peris? He's going to eat them. Kim de Achlin le Peris, Peri Peris Mehecha. There never will be Peri Peris if you're going to eat up all the Peris. So Muzduch Zayin that he's said that I'm not going to eat the Peris in addition to the Peri Peris. Frey Gemara, Tuz Nishkarai, Vli Taimich, Hodit Nad Reb Yehuda Oimer, Lo Oilem Hu Oichel Peri Peris, Ad Shiyoimar, Nechosayich, Upeirisayin, Ad Oilem. But if he didn't say that, then he can continue eating the Peri Peris. Kim de Achlin le Peri, if you allow him to go and eat the peiros, in other words, like we started off the mishnah, if you just said dinu dvarim in mechasayich without saying the peiros sayan, you're letting in the peiros. The peiros mehecha. How is he ever going to have the peiros if he's going to eat up the peiros? Ella can b'dishayra. Obviously, it's talking about although he has the right to go and consume all of the income stream. But what happens if he doesn't want to consume it? He wants to invest it. So he'll take half of the income stream and he'll use it, and the other half of the income stream he's going to go and invest further and further and further. So the fact that he has a right to the payers doesn't mean that he's going to consume it. He might go and leave over 10%, 50%, 80% and invest it in new properties. And therefore, the fact that he left out the word payers saying, and he said payers saying, you cannot be medayik from that. Oh, if he's talking about payers per se, it must mean that he didn't eat up the peiros, because if he ate up the peiros, there wouldn't be peiros. No, maybe he ate up some of them, and he left over, Vishai left over some of the others. We'll just start the next Shikul Gemara, because the whole thing goes deep into the Omer Aleph. And the Gemara said, the Mishnah said at the very end, Shim Gamliel Oimer, that if he says, Benachasayich, Bechayech, Uve Moiseich, said the Tanakama, then he even loses the right to Yashin. So Shem Gamliel, no. Even if she dies, he gets the right to Yashin, because he's Master Master Kosov Batoira, because the Torah says that a Baal Yashin's from the wife, and you can't go and be Master Master Kosov Batoira. Omer Rav, Halakrim Shem Gamliel, we talk a Paschim like that, of Eloi Mitame, but not for the reason of Rav Shem Gamliel. My halacha of Shem Gamliel v'loy mitamei ilema. Maybe it is that halacha of Shem Gamliel the Omar im Mesa Yerushana. We talk a pasuk of Shem Gamliel that even though he wrote mechayech uv moiseich, he continues to yarshin, not like the Tanakama im Mesa Yerushana. But not for the reason of Rabbi Shem Gamliel. Then Rabbi Shem Gamliel suffer Masa Masha Kosba Toira Tanoi bottle, because he holds that this is a din mena Toira, and therefore the Tanai is bottle. For Rav suffer Tanoi Kayim. Rav says that if it happens to be a Tanai which is connected to financial obligations, then the Tanai is Kaim. Where did we have this dispute? We have the dispute what happens if a person is Mekadish Esa Isha, Almanas She'ein Olai She'er Ksus V'oinim. As we know, the Torah says that the three basic obligations that a husband has to his wife. She'er Ksus V'oinim. What are the She'er Ksus V'oinim? We had a machloik is what it means, but Pashim Shat, She'er means food, Ksus means clothing, and Oinim means Tashmish, living together. These three are minimums that he has to supply to his wife. Mizoinis, as well as clothing, as well as living together. Tashmish. Aha. What happens if he says, I'm going to marry you, but only on the condition that you waive all of your rights to all three of these three things? It's really going to be a wonderful marriage, as you can imagine. But what happens if he makes such tanai? Remeya says, he's masmash kosuba Torah. Torah says, Sheira, ksusa vaynosa lo yigra, you have to give these three. Says Rabbi Yehuda, it depends. As far as the oiner part, Tanai bottle, but as far as the share and the ksus, since those are both money, a person can waive his rights to money. A person says, yes, I'm entitled to get mezoinis. I'm entitled to get ksus. I got plenty of mezoinis. I got plenty of ksus.
What about the obligation to bury her and to ransom her?
Those are drabbanans. That's not
military. Those are drabbanans. Those are not derises.
Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So our Gemara is now telling us, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mashmash Kotor Tanoi Bottle, Rav Sover, no, Legabi the Dinam of Yashning her after she passes away. That's a financial thing. So he can waive his rights. Just like Rabbi Yehuda says, you can waive the rights to She'er and to Ksus. So Tanoi Kain, Israel Bazoi, why would Rav agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in Mesa Yirushena? Because Sav Yirush is a Baal Dira Bonon. Yerush Zabal is not Mina Torah. It doesn't say anywhere but Feirish. It's only based on a drasha of Yorash Oisah that Rashi brought on the Mishnah. Says Rav, other Tanoim and Amiroim disagree, and they hold the whole of the new Yerush Zabal as Midrabon. Since it's Midrabonon, L'choira, it's of a lesser significance than the Torah. And if you're telling me you can be Mas Mashikas of a Torah, Tanoi Kayim, it certainly should be that case to Rabban. Yeah, but sometimes we say, the Chom also Chizik the Reim Yotz Mishal Torah, because we don't want people to step on the Rabban's, it's only the Rabban, it's only the Rabban, So David Chom said, oh, it's Rabban, sometimes it's stronger than Din Torah. And that's the reason why Rav holds like Shimon Galil, Lav Mitameh.